Aris HaTorah finished the Perek Bez Hashem, Perek Vav, Sif Tes Vav. In all of Rav Kook's writings, there's the attempt to find a balance between Halacha and Agada, Nigla and Nista, Chachma and Nevuah, emotions and intellect. This is a very, very big inyan in all of Rav Kook's Ksavim. He himself, of course, was an Eish L'Hava, was a fiery, fiery person. And it was always a struggle for him on his Madrega, not the Ramasigi's Madrega, for him, as we see in his writings, to strike that balance between those two worlds. And much of that is reflected in his thoughts on Talmud Torah, in the Sefer and Aris HaTorah. And we saw that at the end last week, the clashing of those two worlds, the great spiritual longing that is connected to Pnimis HaTorah, and the bigger general hergish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, together with the tshuka, the longing that a person has to establish his Jewish life on the foundation of halacha, with all of the particulars of halacha and clarity of a life of halacha. So we continue in Sif Tesvav. The Limud Digduke Torah, the Digduke Seifim Beprate Pratim. When a person is learning all the fine details, all the particulars of Digduke Torah, Digduke Seifim, Torah Shebachsav, Torah Shebal Peh, Beprate Pratim, with all of the many, many details, the prate pratim, hari hoylech umiskalel bavuk achas, mimele, by doing that, he becomes included, he joins into and becomes included, bavuk achas, in one great torch, like a fire. The megama haklolus, with the general objective, aspiration, and goal, shall yisoid hadas, v'yidishkeit, u'she'ifas hakodesh, and the great longing for holiness, v'he'elyonis shebesaychei, and the exaltedness contained within it. Let me try to translate that into our way of talking. Simple. Again, this is all Adech Evsha. I say each time, I don't mean to be repetitious, but I want each time it should be clear that I'm only suggesting things Adech Evsha. No. Rav Kook is expressing the fear that the big neshama has, that this big person has, when he spends so much of his time being Isaac, involved with the prate pratim, with the ins and outs, with the details of halacha. The person's thinking, I could right now be his baididus. I could be learning a piece of Kedushas Levi or Sfas Emes. I could be learning Ramchal. I could be learning Musar. I could be growing closer to the Bari Olam. I could be Isaac in things which are owned in Rumushal Olam, that are standing upon the precipice of the entire universe. And here I am for the last 3 hours trying to figure out what exactly is what kind of a chazak is this? What kind of what's the Indian here of Rav and chazak? Rav versus chazak? I'm learning the Indian of of a person's learning the sugya in Masechta Megillah. The sugya of a ben krach, ben kfar, person comes from a walled city to a regular city, from a regular city to a walled city, and he feels like just smashing down all of these walls and saying, what am I doing over here? I'm spending the whole day on this inyan of the city and that kind of city, and I just want to be able to come to that point of what of Esther Malka and of Mordechai HaYehudi, and to be in that place of Lahidisha Kolke Vecha Layevashiv Layikamala Netzach. And I'm sitting here with these pratim. So Rav Kook says that you should know that when you're learning Digduke Tayrav Digduke Sarv Prate Pratim, that when you're in that Limud, when you're learning the Digduke Tayrav Digduke Sarifrim and all of the details of Tayrav, even though you don't see this and you don't feel it, but Harei Hoylech, he says, Mimela, that by doing that you should know that you're not separating yourself and making yourself into a tiny little crumb. Because you feel that you're talking about little crumbs. You feel that by spending the past 3 hours on this question in halacha, on this particular detail in halacha, you feel that you're getting separated and lost as a little particle, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and that little particle is that Tosfos, that little particle is that Rambam, whatever it is, that piece of Torah that you're learning, or that piece of halacha that you're involved in, and that you're drifting off as a little tiny little particle, a little crumb. So Rav Kook says that's not true. He says you should know that belimud digdikay tayr digdikay sarim b'prati pratim, that when you're sitting and learning tayr, all of the digdukim, all of the tiny tiny little particulars and details of that inyan that you're learning, you're not a separate tiny little light that's drifting off into the universe, but rather you are a candle of Hashem that you're joining mimela, you're joining together with all the other candles to create this huge fire, this avuka achas, this big flame, this big fire. Hayahailach, you shouldn't allow yourself to slip into this feeling of just a little, you know, a Purim cotton, a little Purim. You're part, as I explained yesterday, Purim is a lashon of pirurim, a crumb. A Purim cotton means a little crumb. You shouldn't feel that way. You should know that by your sitting over this halacha, by your worrying about this halacha, by your learning to the best of your ability this detail of Yiddishkeit, hari ha'olech u'miskal b'avuk achas. People on the outside can't possibly understand this. They don't understand what we're doing with these things. He says, Rav Kook says, hari ha'olech u'miskal b'avuk achas. You're jumping into this big fire of what? This magama b'avuk achas b'magama haklolis, this great general objective and goal, shali yisayid hadas, which is the foundation of Yiddishkeit, u'sheifas hakodesh, and the great longing for holiness, v'alyunus v'alyonus v'besoicha, and the great exaltedness that's found in all of Yiddishkeit. Don't see yourself as a separate piece. There's no such thing. It's all part of this big, big fire of Sheifas HaKadosh, of the great longing to be connected to the Bari Olam. And there's a great danger if you forget this. There's a very big danger of forgetting this. Amalek wants very much for us to forget that. Amalek wants to make a person cold. Ashakarcha means the coldness of when you're separated from the whole, when you're separated from the whole thing. Separation always means coldness. To make a person feel that his life is divided from the life of all of the Jewish people, from the entire nation. To feel that the moments that he's living in what he's Isaac in halacha and learning halacha and learning the details of Tanakh, of Chumash Rashi, of that parish and this parish, to make him feel as if that doesn't have in it all of the fire, all of the warmth of the entire program of all of Yiddishkeit, and to take away from the person the feeling of the She'ifas HaKadosh, that he no longer thinks that he's part of the great longing for holiness, but rather he's just busy in handling over some little technicality in halacha. To give that feeling of separation, that he's just in some technicality, that's the Inyan of Amalek. That's the Asher Karcha. That's what causes a great feeling of coldness that boys have in yeshiva, that they want to run away from. So many of the chevra want to be away from that and they can't take it. If they would feel that in every single moment of learning, it's all part of the She'ifas HaKadosh, of the great longing of holiness of the Jewish people, to be part of this big, big project that began by Maimon HaSinai and marches on until Mashiach, there would be that excitement. And there wouldn't be this feeling that I'm in some unimportant, irrelevant little tiny crumb of Yiddishkeit that has no bearing on my life and there's no bearing on the entire picture. That's Amalek. Which we learn many times that Amalek is a lashon of Am Melek, which is Malika, which means breaking something, cutting something. Melek Malika means cracking, separating, like the Malika Sa'if in the Beis HaMikdash. To separate, to break, to take something away from the entirety, that's the meaning of Amalek. To give you a feeling that you're not part of something bigger, that you're just in a tiny little thing, that you're on some sort of an assembly line, and you're not part of the entire, you don't see the finished product, you're just this guy, and you're on the assembly line that puts in this one piece into the machine, and you're sitting here with this piece of the machine your whole life, this technicality, and you're just doing that one thing. But that's not true. That's Amalek. And from there comes a great krivus, a feeling of coldness and separation. And what could happen if a person feels that way? What could that cause in one's avodas Hashem? So Cook continues and says, "Vim be'emes yitustash ha'or hamavik shel ha'pratim." If Rav Kook says that if, in fact, that happens, meaning, if because of this great longing for the general, all-encompassing light, for the ruchnius, for the spirituality, if as a result of that longing, yitushtash ha'or hamavhik shel ha'pratim, the shining light of the details of the technicalities of Yiddishkeit will become dimmed or blurred, Yecharev ha'olam ha'maisi kulay. The entire practical world of that person will be completely charev, will be totally destroyed. I don't think I have to give examples of, I'm not talking about names. I'm talking about examples that we see in our times of such things. Where a person, we've spoken about this so many times, is not really necessary to be ma'arich, but where a person has tremendous she'ifas, and he wants to have the whole big picture of being a Jew and the whole feelings of being a Jew, but the details of halacha and of the ins and outs of learning Torah have lost their appeal, or never appealed to this person. So he was never able to get into like somebody told me here that he wasn't, you know, when we made the thing to learn Shas. So I said, what about, no, I said to him, why don't you try taking at least part of a Masechta, an older fellow. He says, no, Gemara was never, no, it's not for me. It's like saying that for men. So that's for men to say. And when you say, would you like to have some Yiddishkeit? I said, no, Yiddishkeit is not for me. I'm too interested in Yiddishkeit. He said, I'm so interested in Yiddishkeit, I'm not interested in Yiddishkeit. There's no Yiddishkeit without Gemara. There's no Yiddishkeit without the an intense program of learning Torah Shabbat Peh. Each person on his level, so. I wasn't saying that he has to take, you know, a Masechta, to take a Perek. And you could learn nowadays, a person can learn with anybody can learn, because you have so many beautiful translations and tapes and so on. So, no. He likes the romance of Judaism. He likes the spirit of Yiddishkeit. He doesn't want. So if Cook says, you should know. And Be'emes, he says, Yitushtash ha'or ha'mabik shel ha'pratim, that if the shining light of the details becomes blurred or dim, Yecharav ha'olam ha'maisi kula, Yechorben to the olam ha'maisi kula. It could be a complete chorben to his life as a Jew. A complete chorben. Therefore, if Cook says, okay, Muchrach Masach Liyais Nifras. Therefore, it's necessary to spread out a shield, a machitza, a divider, a barrier. You know, like you have different types of shades. They have different thicknesses of shades. You could have one that dims, darkens, you know. Would you put on a window, different thicknesses. So if Cook is saying that one needs to put a shade, a darkener, or a dimmer, a darkener, over the powerful energy of the imagination. The imagination. Over the light of Ruchnius. And if Cook was himself, he could hear about himself. It's all about himself. If Cook was a walking time bomb, every second to explode. And the tzaddikim felt this all the time. The need to spread out a shade, a masach, a chatzitza, a mechitza. Something. Alken muchach masach lias nifras. To divide between the netiyas hanefesh, the inclination of the soul, for the whole picture, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the everythingness of being a Jew, and the netiya that he has to live as a prat, to live the practical life of an observant elochid. One of the simanim of a tzaddik that we have often spoken about, and those who have known tzaddikim have seen this, is that the tzaddik could be involved in the biggest inyan, and he never forgets about the people that are and their simple inyanim and their needs and so on. They don't forget about that. That the tzaddik has this dimmer, this shade that separates between bigness and smallness. And he's able to move from one world to the other. I remember when I was maybe 16 or 17, I was reading an article, I don't remember where it was. There was an article about some famous movie star from those days, and how he treated the people, the people that worked, like in the movie, I don't know, like, the cast of other people, I don't know who the other people involved, well, there's so many people going to these things, that he treated them, to say he treated them like dirt would be already a compliment. Lower than, they didn't exist, and they were, you see very often with these big people, big, I don't mean they're big, they're not big at all, but with these people who think that they're big, that they don't have any, they think that they're involved in such an important, earth-shattering thing. They're involved in such a big thing that they don't have any patience for interest in the pratim. I'm talking about human beings. About human beings. My daughter was very disturbed. She said some last week she was in some place to get a haircut, one of the places, in the neighborhood to get a haircut or something. And there, she doesn't know the name of a person, but it was a very, very, very loud person, that the help there in this store, the foreigners, I know the ladies there that cut hair or that do nails, that's their job. And this lady was talking to them. My daughter said she couldn't stay in the store. She wanted to run out from the store. My daughter couldn't listen to it. The way she was talking to the ladies, the Spanish or whoever they are next, I don't know where they're from, how she was talking to them. It's such bizarreness and derision. And she came over there. And my daughter said that she made such a scene because something, I don't know, with a nail, I don't know. And my daughter said it was hard to believe that she spoke to these like they're animals. And afterwards, my daughter said how the ladies looked at each other. These innocent, nice ladies that are just trying to do their job, whatever, how they looked at each other. There's some rich Jew. My daughter said and it's not the first time that she's heard to different degrees, varying degrees, which especially more affluent the neighborhood, the more likely you're going to hear such lashonis, because these are very big people, you understand. She has a lot of things to do in her life besides get her nails done. She also has, I don't have to go through the list. She has a lot, she's going to start, but she has a lot of important things to do that day, you know. She didn't have a cappuccino yet or something. In one of the 5,000 coffee shops on Central Avenue, she's a very busy person. And she took off time in her busy day to humiliate the human being. She it was very nice of her. She did a favor for that lady in the store to put it down, to make it to nothing. It's the opposite of Gedolei Yisrael. The simon of Gedolei Yisrael, all the stories that we have from Chavetz Chaim and from Ramayisha and all the stories of the tzaddikim, there's that one theme running through all of the stories. And it's only the tiny bit that we know and the tiny bit that we've seen. Is that with all of their greatness and with all of their focus on true greatness, I'm not talking about what these idiots think is great, on true greatness, that their minds are mamish in the highest world, they never, ever, ever are absorbed in that light and in themselves to such a degree where they don't see across the barrier, across the divider, across the mechitza, across that shade, that window shade, and to what's going on the other side, and to care about and to show warmth and affection and involvement in the other side. And knowing that every single detail of God's world, including that little lady in the nail store, in the hair store, that she's also part of the Bar Ilam's world. That's also part of the big fire. What is exactly that she's doing that's not your in you, what she's doing, who she is. I'm not saying that you have to become her friend. But as an opportunity to be a Balder Cheretz, to care about a human being and to talk in the right way. The small people feel they're too big for smaller things than them. But big people are never, no such thing. Truly big people, truly great people, b'chalal not. See, one second, see sometimes you have that, you see this a lot in places of work, with the way someone talks to government, the hills, give the keys, won't even look at the guy. Let's say he wants the guy that works for him to go move his car or something, because the alternate side of this, I remember just thinking about something, I remember where I worked, and he says to the guy, like, yeah, doesn't even look at him, says, go get my car, then. Like, talks to him like an animal. Like he's not a human being at all, because he's such a chashuv person. He runs this company. He's got 100 people working for him. So who's that guy over there? Nah. Go move my car. As long as you give You know, and you pat him on the back at some point, and you slip him a $10 bill, and you think he goes home and he says, my boss is such a tzaddik. He comes home and he says, that miserable rich Jew, who does he think he is? That's what it is. That's the metzias of what's going on. Who does he think he is? The way that we've, especially in the wealthier neighborhoods, how people talk to people. Years, the Aziz Pond, the Chutzpah. Just forget about the Prate Prate. One second, everyone. I just want to go into the sentence back into Rav Kook. So he says, Al Kain, Mukhrach Masach Lias Nifras. Therefore, there must always be that darkener, that shade, to divide between the entire picture, the light of spirituality, the Ruchnias, the Gadlus, the Gavrus, the Merdike. Hasogis, that a person is longing for, the shifas, all of that. And all the details, what Rav Kook, of course, is talking about the details of Allah, a practical Jewish life. I was only using the other details. It's all of those are all details of how we live as Jews. And in this person's world, there's room to clarify. There's room in this person's life to see the significance of how everything on the other side of the divider is not really on the other side of the divider. That's the beauty of what Rav Kook is saying, is that it's the truth is it's all one big fire. For the Chofetz Chaim to talk kindly to a person, for Rav Moshe to care about some little yid that he would pass on the way back from shul, to Rav Moshe that wasn't something that was an insignificant detail on the other side of the mechitza. It was all one big fire. It's all one big flame. Helping another person, a husband helping a wife helping a husband, helping a child. Those are the pratim of life. So for a big person might think that it's not for me to have a shaykhus to these pratim of life. What Rav Kook is saying is that you have to realize, you have to give a place, a space, Leberish akol pratu prat, to clarify, to work on every single detail. Bailam choshuch in the dark world, agabi ha'ira klalis, to allow for that general big light of everything to shine on every single detail. Va'avaydas beiru zebi yidiya va'avayda, and you should know that when you're working hard, avaydas beiru zeh, to clarify this din, this halacha, to understand what's Rashi saying, what's the Ramban saying, what's the Klayaka, the Racham Kodesh, what they're saying in halacha and in Gemara, and in your practical life that I was talking about a minute ago, of remembering all the protim of life. This avayda, avaydas beiruz abiyidiv, avaydas mshachlalas siyas achayim, it upgrades and purifies and refines all of life. That's what you see by the tzaddikim. Don't think it makes you petty. It does make you petty. It does make you small. Other Rabbi, Rav Kook says, "Avaydas beiruzeh b'yidiyah v'avayd mishachlelah siyas achayim." It refines, it purifies, it uplifts all of life. Because every detail of life is illuminated with the entire picture of Hashem Echad. How you talk to the girl in the barber shop, the hair salon. How you talk to that person. How you speak to the person. Ask how are you? How's your family? That's not separated. That's not something which downgrades your life. It upgrades your life of a Jew. Besides what it does for that person. It's meshachlelis as achayim. It makes every moment of your life not a tiny little spark, a tiny little crumb, but part of the whole fire of being a Jew. Avadis beiruz abiyadiyah, avadim shachlelis, it's the same thing when you're learning that sif katan in the Mishnah Berurah. and when you're spending three hours to learn the Pshat and Taisus, you spend the whole day trying to understand what the Gemara is saying, that line in the Gemara. So you might think that's downgrading, that's lowering, that's dimming the light of my life. My light, this is a big thing. Just the opposite. You always hear this. The experience that people have by Chut Tzadikim is that when I'm by that tzaddik, I feel important. Anybody that's ever been by the Sefer Rebbe, the Yibolim Echaim L'Chaim, Lubavitch Rebbe, any tzaddikim, when you're by a tzaddik, you feel important. Not the way that you would feel by the movie star. But the movie star would if you'd scream and yell and hold out a thing for the movie star to sign. Maybe if their agent told them that you have to stand there for a half hour to tolerate these subhumans who are pushing their papers at you, just to tolerate them because it's part of the promotion for the latest movie. Or when you sign the contract with the team, if you're a ball player, you have to, part of the contract is that you got to hang around a little bit and to rub shoulders with the riffraff, with the hamoin am, with the idiots, with the low lives of society. Now that you're such a hush of a guy, until now you had a police record, but you knew how to get the ball into a hoop. So now you became, you paid $100 million, whatever it is, and you're playing basketball. And all of a sudden you don't have a shaykhis. You have diamonds on every finger. You don't have a shaykhis to the old neighborhood. You understand? What kind of shaykhis do you have to the old neighbor? Except if you're running short on drugs or something. Even then you just send back. You send one of your guys to go. You don't go yourself to the old to the hood. You send one of the guys to pick up some stuff for you. Yeah. Then it all comes back around. Then they lose all their money because they don't know how to spend the money. Then again, they're murdering this O.J. Simpson. O.J. So, you see, lahavdil efal for those by tzaddik. There's no such thing. And remember that the tzaddik of be'emes oisik in big things. Bamas, they're icing big things. A movie's not a big thing. A ball game's not a big thing. It's all games. But they're talking about a tzaddik. It's icing mamish and big things. But when you're next to that tzaddik, when you're talking to that tzaddik, you feel like you're a big person. Because in the tzaddik's eyes, you are a big person. Because the tzaddik doesn't see you as separated from the entire picture. You see yourself that way. But when you're with the tzaddik, you can't help but get caught up in the fire of the tzaddik, who sees every detail as every single detail as an important, not just important, crucial, indispensable piece of the reality of Hashem Echad. So you don't feel small. You feel important. You feel great. There's nothing like that in the world. In the rest of the world, I was reading that book about the prime ministers that I read a few months ago. It's a Maridic book. And this from a Yid that he wrote. So the big tzaddik Henry Kissinger, he writes there about how there was Henry Kissinger was coming out from a meeting. Now you know that Henry Kissinger is a Yid. He married somebody that's not Jewish, as you know. You also know that his parents were Shomer Mitzvahs. His parents were Shomer Shabbos. He grew up in Washington Heights. He's from Germany. He left because of the Milchama. He escaped, Baruch Hashem, he escaped just in time, and he came to the States. And whatever happened to him, happened to him. He's a brilliant person, Kiddur, brilliant person. So the author of that book promises he has a friend, there's another journalist, who's a German Jew, who moved to Eretz Yisrael, and was a journalist in Eretz Yisrael. And Henry Kissinger was at that time in Eretz Yisrael, and he was there, the big meetings going on. And he was coming after the meeting. Now this journalist, this Yakir that was a friend of the author of the book, he grew up in Cheder together. He was in school together with Kissinger in Germany. And he hadn't seen him all these years. They were best friends. Dante said they were mom's best friends. So he called out, you remember if you read the book, he called out Heinrich. He called out,
Heinrich.
Heinz, Heinz, whatever, he called him by his name, that he was known as in Germany. He called out to Henry, by his name, the way that he was called as a kid, in German, whatever. And the kid's just surrounded by a secret service, all these things. So he says, it's me, whatever, you know, like it's me, your uncle. So he says, the way Kissinger looked at him for a second with disgust, like, get this worm out of you, like, the, and what is like, you know, and the guy's like pushed Kissinger ahead, and he said, he knows who I am. We grew up together, best friends. But now he became Henry Kissinger instead. Became Henry Kissinger. And we could say he's a Jew, and he said he's the Jew musician. But he became Henry Kissinger. And the Chlal, that's how he went. You understand? He sees himself as someone that's in, he had a very, very, very big ego, that person. And he saw himself as the, not the president, he looked down, they were nothing. He was the one that was going to make peace in the entire world. And then how he treated his own brothers. It would have been a big, we could have given a big maka in the Milcham if not for him. It was really, he was the one that stopped the Israelis from going in and finishing off the whole parasha. And it wasn't because of his cheshmet, how that's going to help the Jews. So he looked at his old friend from school when he was growing up, and he was just another Jew that was living under the chaluf, the knife of Hitler, Yimach Shemai. And he can't tolerate a little crumb from his youth, you know, from his childhood. He can't, a crumb. It's the opposite of the tzaddik. Caring for the details, attention to every prat, upgrades life, ennobles life, brings everything together in that big fire of what it means to be a Jew. Again, of course, Rav Kook is talking about the prate problem of halacha and learning. I'm only using that. It's for everything in Yiddishkeit. You should know that higher and above that divider, that shade, the sun of Yiddishkeit, of the entirety of the clothes, is shining and burning brightly. You have that shade, but the sun is so that you could be able to see what is needed on this side of the shade. But you should know that the sun is burning and shining brightly on every single thing that you're doing. And every halacha that you're in, and every taisis, and every gemara, and every rashi, and every ramban, and every rashba, and every rambam, and every single detail, every second that a person spends with a child, a husband, a wife, a shtickel derech eretz with somebody, whatever. So you feel that there's a shade, and you need to put a dimmer, so that you should be able to descend and to be Isaac with those things. But you have to know that the light is shining brightly. The sun hasn't dimmed. The derech ma'avara marif hu talalei ayra, and through the shade, and by way of that, it sprinkles, it sheds, I don't know what the word name was for this, gives forth talalei ayra, drops of light. Drops of life get through. Talalei, like the word tal, drops, do. Drops talalei ayra, drops of light, make their way through those details. And you feel an excitement of something bigger that's going on. Derech ma'avaro marif hu talalei ayra l'chol hablita hapratis. And those drops of light are like glimmering from that blita hapratis, from that particular detail that is right now bolet. Bolet means that is sticking out, that you're Isaac in. That is more obvious now. Ad sheyoneku ha'olam atachtayim ha'elyayim. Until it's like that little detail is reaching out from the darkness of this world up to that higher world, to the higher world. Ad sheyoneku ha'olam atachtayim ha'elyayim. Till the lower world is being nourished and nurtured that little detail reaches out from the darkness. You help it out from the darkness in your life. You bring it out so that it is able to come into the sunlight of the Olam Ha'Elyon, of that higher world. So that every single part of this world is being nourished by the world above. V'holchem heim u'mis'achdim. V'holchem heim u'mis'achdim. Until they join together and they become one. That little detail, what you think is a little, that little is reaching up to that higher, to the, it's yearning from the Olam Ha'Elyon. In truth, you realize, and not only do you realize, but you're actually aiding and abetting this process of joining together the two sides of the Mechitza, the lower world and the higher world. The Olam HaTachton and the Olam HaElyon. That's what we do when we're Isaac in all of the Pratim of Halacha, of Torah, and of the world, in the Jewish way, with the right brachas, with the right dercheres, with a smile, with the sensitivity, v'chulu. That we're able to achi inekor Olam HaTachton HaElyon. So you're able to, that lady could have taken the Spanish or Mexican person, whoever that was over there in the hair salon, could have given her an opportunity, could have helped that lady, that worker in the store, have a shaychus to Olam HaElyon, to be part of the Olam HaElyon. But instead, she rejected her and threw her like a dog on the side and made her feel like the lowest tachtan shebetachtanim, no shaychus to God, no shaychus to anything, to the lowest of the low. Lowest of the low. Instead, the woman could have sprinkled some light on her from the Olam HaElyon by showing her chashivas, by saying thank you. That doesn't mean you can't, if something was done wrong, it doesn't mean you can't take care of it. You take care of it with ne'imus and derech eretz. And if it's going to be hurtful, so then don't say anything. I mean, she could have sprinkled some light on the person. And in doing so, could have made that chibur, that yichud between the lower world and the higher world. And instead, before she left, she humiliated this person. Then she marched off to her, to meet her friends in the coffee shop, and then on to bigger and better things, to her personal trainer. Unfortunately, her personal trainer is only showing her how to do push-ups. She doesn't have a personal trainer. She should have Bal Musa, that should be her personal trainer. She should go home with her. Instead of teaching her how to flatten her stomach, you should teach her how to close her mouth and to talk to human beings in a decent way. Hashem Yarach. What could have been an opportunity of sprinkling sunlight on this world became spreading darkness and making the world feel that it's lost on the other side there's nothing, there's just darkness. Besides the Chil Hashem, that's marvelous Arayim, the Chil Hashem. That you and I are walking every second of our lives with the opportunity to sprinkle some of that, to allow some of that light through, to help, to make a connection between the Olam HaTachton and the Olam HaElyon. And if we don't do that, then it's a very, very big chaval. And the tachlis of our being in this world is to make a deal with Hafez. That's the tachlis of our being here. Avram, you know where Avram is talking about? You know in Borough Park on 13th Avenue? In Borough Park, the Shem Shabbos shul there. It's been there. It's been there since Bereishis, but officially like 1907 or something like that, I don't know. But his brother now is a Hungarian Rav. He's in barrack size. He came before the Milchama. He left before the war. And an exceptional person, a tzaddik yavid. He's the Rav there for many, many years. Shem Shabbos, they have minyanim constantly, you know.
A tough clientele.
Yeah. So, I've been in and out of there many times over the years, just to daven, I'm in Chamar Avenue in Brooklyn. So, I was with my brother-in-law years ago. We went to see the Skolana Rebbe's. He should be well. Went to see Skolana Rebbe's one? Yeah. So, we were by the Skolana Rebbe. And we needed to daven. So, we went into Shem Shabbos to daven. And we were walking out, and the Rav, who just passed away, that's why everyone brought up the Rav Turnauer, he just was nifted. So the Rav somehow we were next to him. We were walking out with him, and he was talking to us, and he asked for a lift. He had to go someplace. So we said, oh, sure, we took him in the car, And so I was driving, and my brother was in the back seat, and Rav Turnhauer was next to us. So he's asking me many questions in Yiddish. He's asking many, many questions about Woodmere, and Long Island. And he was very fascinated. He was very fascinated by it. He says that the Yidna, and I was telling him all about, you know, different things, yeah, in the neighborhood. So then the shul, so he said to me, I'll get the Eitz. He says, I want to give you an Eitz at Taiva. He said to me, he says, with your Olam, you should try to talk to them in English. I'll try. Sounds like over there you should try to talk to them better in English, so that they'll understand better. I said, I'm going to check it out. So it was the cutest thing, the way he said it. He is like, Mamish from another world. He is so cute how he said it. He has a very sweet, beautiful face there, I've turned out. He said it today. Try to talk in English. And I couldn't figure out. I was breaking my teeth in Yiddish. But I was trying to, you know, communicate in Yiddish. And
probably why
he said he's smarter than... the joke's on me. He says, no, don't feel bad. Just maybe. Didn't sound like anything he said, but maybe it was all a, you know, it was all a game. But there are herits for every person. You see about the tzaddikim. Such a way of living and how they are with everybody. That's what it means. That in our lives, you see that these tzaddikim, wherever they went, they were making shidduchim. Wherever they went, they were making shidduchim. They're making a shidduch between the olam hatacht and the olam ha'elyon. Whenever they met a person, they made that person feel, not like they say it by the world, like $1 million. That was another funny thing. This happened just the other day. I had somebody left me a message, like, until that message was up, you know, and it was fast Yiddish. Something, you know, about fundraising, something, mashallah. Fast Yiddish, the whole thing Yiddish, you know, whole long thing. But he ended, he said, thanks a million. Thanks a million. That's how he ended. It's the only English word. I guess he's hoping for coming here. He's going to get a million. He goes, no, a whole long drush in Yiddish. He says, thanks a million. So there's an expression in the world that makes you feel like $1 million. That's $1 million, is a small hasaga. There's the olam hatachton, there's the olam ha'elyon. The tzaddikim ha'shadchanim. And every single person they meet, they make a shidduch between the olam hatachton and the olam ha'elyon. They say, let me introduce you to the olam ha'elyon. Not by saying anything fancy in Kabbalah, not by telling you necessarily a vart. Just that feeling of seeing in you a chashivus, of and seeing in a person a nefesh elokis. That they make a shidduch. Everything in the world becomes part of the olam hatachton. They make a shidduch. They're constantly making shidduchim. The biggest shadchan with tzaddikim between the olam hatachton, to let the olam hatachton know that you're not, there's no such thing just you by yourself. You're not a separate piece of anything. You're not a little crumb. You're yonik from olam ha'elyon. There's a unique, there's a hookup, there's a connection, there's a line, there's a pipe that's connecting you to something higher than that. And especially when it comes to people who are down and out, especially if you have a business and you have workers. When we were first married, so I was doing a lot in the hashgacha in these hotels to try to make some. I was teaching. I was doing it at night and on weekends. These kitchens, these are miserable places. These kitchens, and you have the chaver, the work in these places. Some, you know, really, really lost people, terrible lost people, and I took it upon myself, and I found that no matter what, no matter how the words that came out from the mouth, every word was filth. I spoke to them with tremendous, tremendous deference and with tremendous respect. And at the end, they didn't do any of the work that I needed them to do for me, but they were my best friends. I managed to have friendship with these guys, and they started talking differently. First, they would use the filthy words, and they would say, oh, sorry, Rabbi, I don't know. One says, I know you're a man of the cloth. He says to me, he said, a man of the cloth. That's what he said. He says, I'm sorry, John, I'm talking that way. And they start to talk different. They start to talk different. And they had by the end of a day. You could be there for a day, because you're together in the same place, like 12 hours, 50, even more, 15, 16 hours in the kitchen. You talk with Derek Harris. Could you please, you have a minute, can you? It's hard to guess, because the other one's tiny, you have to talk to them very strong in order to get anything done. But I didn't plan on spending my life in that malacha. But I saw opportunities with these people. No one ever spoke to them in a nice way. They don't speak to each other in a nice way. You talk in a nice way. They light up. Even the scariest ones, they light up, mamish. They're nice people. They're good people. They don't mean bad. And even if they are saying bad things, they're not bad people. How many bad people are in the whole world? They're all in the Middle East, mostly in the Middle East. You know. So how many people there, and I'm not even talking about the Hamaynam, how many bad people, even those people, people that were taught terrible things. If they wouldn't be taught terrible things by their leaders, they wouldn't be bad people. They're hearing over and over terrible things. You think they're bad people? They're not bad people. They're just taught over and over and over terrible things. Amalek is Betzim. Germany is something else. That Indian of Amalek is something else. That's Betzim. That's Betzim. Evil. No, it's not that. Bad people. It's not. They're just taught bad things. The same with this chevra. If you try a little bit sunlight, a little bit tayv, a little bit something. I talked to this guy. I remember talking about his mother. He come to the same place. He would ask him, how's his mother feeling? He couldn't believe that I asked him, because he had told me that his mother was very sick. And I came the next time, he said, how's your mom doing? He almost broke down to cry. It's because someone asked him, how's your mom doing? He said, Rabbi, you remembered? I said, that was just a week ago. And I wanted to know how your mother's feeling. And I told him the truth. I said, you asked me to pray for her, and I was davening for her during the week that she should feel better. He said, you prayed for her? I said, yes, of course, I prayed for her. You told me. And I asked you the name, and I prayed for her. He he's this big, like, tough guy. He was, like, shaking. He was so, emotional about that. He said, why? Because you told him that you're not a tachtein. You're not nothing. You have a kesher to Olam HaElyon. You're a human being. But you think you're nothing? You're not nothing. You're chashiv. But he never heard that in the house. He never heard in the school. He never heard on the street. So he became a crumb. The whole world has to know that there's a unique from Olam HaTachton to Olam HaElyon is from Olam HaElyon. Allah has come of a kamba when we're with each other and with other Yidden. How much more so? Of course. How much more so? Well, the final big shidduch should take place with the Rosh Hashanah.